I'm in charge here, and it's my job to see that the homie to make men out of all of you. Mm.
Do you hear that, Pete? He wants to make men out of all of us.
Each and every one of you will be trained to move into action at a moment's notice.
Ooh, well, I can tell him that the Fancy Dan and Perfume Pete are not exactly used to wandering into no man's land.
Oi, you two.
Ooh, hell's bells. Looks like we caught someone's attention.
I've been keeping my eye on you two. Any more of this effeminate nonsense, and you'll be sent to the guardroom. And what? What are you eating?
Just some banana balls. That bully beef we had for lunch ain't exactly filling.
Give them to me.
Oi! Get your hands off Fancy Dan's balls.
These are confiscated. Now you two are coming with me to the guardroom. We'll have you both banged up in no time.
Here, leave off, you big brute.
Someone got out the wrong side of bed this morning.
It's a very, very funny show, Mabel.
Well, I just feel it can come across as dealing in stereotypes. Fancy Dan and Perfumed Pete. They're rather cartoonish.
Well, I've come across a few effeminate men in my time, and I have to say, if anything, it underplays their effeminacy.
Latest statistics show that 10% of men in this country are effeminate. Is it worth considering a show which would appeal to them as a niche audience?
Well, what does that mean?
It's a term which I've either read somewhere or made up myself to describe a specific section of the listening audience.
I'm sure that effeminate men are more than happy to be represented by Perfume Pete and Fancy Dan. It seems to me a perfectly accurate portrayal of the effeminate lifestyle.
But we have programmes aimed specifically at women. Why not programmes aimed at effeminate men?
But where will it end? Programmes aimed at, you know, left-handed generals? Shows exclusively for badgers?
Hello, Mr. Tharp's office. Oh, God, it's Roger Reeves. Oh. He wants to pay you back 5 shillings he borrowed.
Yes, fine, send him in.
Yes, please send him in.
Oh, Lordy. Ah, Roger, you know Mabel?
Yes. Tharp, here's the 5 shillings I borrowed from you. I fell behind on my gas bill.
Thank you.
There was a very grim item I read out on the news recently about the amount of people who fall behind on their gas bill. Many who can't afford to pay die in the winter. From the cold. People who live alone, unloved, friendless, dying, alone.
Yes, well, at least you paid your bill.
I often wonder, as I too live alone, will I die, unloved, in my small flat in Mayfair, my body undiscovered for months, even years, eaten by rats, before it's found by an unknown neighbour, and then a solemn funeral attended by a lone, uninterested vicar before my crumbling remains are flung into a pauper's grave.
So, Roger, anything interesting in the news today?
There's been another mining disaster up north. Several miners all aged between 6 and 10 years old, and up to a dozen pit ponies were killed instantly when the mine collapsed in on itself. Reports say that the pit ponies were hideously mangled, a mess of hooves and hair and sinewy bone merged together in a disgusting pit pony mess.
Have any film stars become engaged?
That may be a topic of interest to the popular press, but I think the BBC should report more serious matters. Thank you for the 5 shillings, Saab. I see it's 1:06. I'd better get out there.
Oh, dear, I do wish the news wasn't so depressing.
This is the 1 o'clock news from the BBC, and this is me, Roger Eaves, reading it. Another member of the royal family has died of lethargy. The Duke of Northumberland, a third cousin of the King, passed away at his home near Hyde. He had been bored for some time. Tributes have been paid to the Duke. The Prime Prime Minister has described it as one of the greatest threats ever posed to this country, and a very grave matter indeed. Perhaps the gravest and most serious problem he has ever come across in his entire life. And that is the end of the news. Now we present a program of interest to female listeners. Hygiene Matters. Presented by Daphne Gregg.
Good afternoon. How much attention do you pay to cleanliness? It is surprising how many ladies, so fastidious in every other room in the house, are sometimes less vigilant in the bedroom. This lack of care can even extend to their own bodies, and indeed the bodies of their husbands. Specifically, the frontal section of their husbands' bodies. This type of cleanliness is known as hygiene. It includes washing one's hands after a difficult visit to the lavatory, and... changing one's night clothes after an act of love. Here are some basic tips.
This is an absolute outrage! How did this program ever get on air? Hygiene Matters, indeed! It was a litany of filth. Descriptions of the most vile and intimate bedroom acts, sarcastic remarks about chastity, derogatory references to the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Oh, with respect, Lord Reith, I don't recall any references to the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Right, let me look at my notes. All right, yes, that was in the gardening programme. Anyway, that's a small detail. How did this ever get on the air?
Well, the idea came from my assistant, Mabel.
Course.
Well, she believes that these matters should be discussed in a mature and adult manner as a public service to our listeners.
They may be discussed in a bordello or a knocking shop, but not the BBC.
Well, perhaps, yes, it was an error of judgment on my part. Mabel is very keen on programmes aimed at ladies and other minority groups. Recently, for example, she suggested a programme which would cater for effeminate men. Lord Reith? Lord Reith? Goodness, you seem to be... Oh, my... Excuse me, I think I need help. Lord Reith seems to have fallen into a catatonic state. Suggestion of a programme aimed at effeminate men really polaxed the Lord.
Where is he now?
In the BBC hospital. He's not responding to anything. He's in total shock.
What's the prognosis?
Well, the doctors at the BBC hospital aren't certain. He could be in this state for years. Or he could snap out of it at any second. He could undergo a complete personality change. Or he could return to his old self as if nothing had ever happened. I'm afraid he may require years of therapy and recuperation. Or he may require none at all. He may need constant medication for the rest of his life. Or a simple cup of tea could restore him fully to his former self.
So basically, no one knows what's wrong with him.
Exactly. He's under observation at the moment.
Well, how long will he be under observation?
It could be seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades.
Centuries.
Unlikely to be centuries, he'd be dead.
Of course. Without wishing to appear opportunistic, this does give us an opportunity.
I just stop you there, Mabel. By using the word opportunity, you immediately appear opportunistic.
Well, perhaps I shall use another word.
Very well.
I've thought of another word.
Well, what is it?
Chance.
Proceed.
Lord Reith's absence perhaps gives us a chance to perhaps be a little bit more experimental with our programming.
Mabel, if you see Lord Reith's indisposal as a chance to introduce exciting programmes, I must advise against it. Remember, this is the BBC. When the Lord emerges from his catatonic state, he would not be pleased. He wasn't born yesterday, you know. He was born in 1889.
Actually, I was thinking of a possible innovation regarding the news.
The news?
Yes, the news is all very depressing.
Hear, hear.
Thank you, Roger. But I had an idea. What about a more light-hearted topic as a final item to leave the listeners in a more upbeat frame of mind?
But the news is all about assassinations and mining disasters and unemployment and wars. The only news which does not have tragic undertones concerns fluctuations of the gold standard, and that is merely dull.
Yes. But my point is...
I love the news.
I know you do, Roger.
My point is, it would be something of a relief to hear less ominous reports.
Such as?
I love the news.
Well, for example, a small kitchen in Hampshire has been causing something of a sensation with its ability to arrange fish bones into pieces of modern sculpture.
I love the news. And that's not news. It's not newsworthy in any way. You, oh, for goodness sake, see if you can speak some sense to her, Tharb. I'm away to take an aspirin.
Oh, he's in a rather good mood today.
Yes, I thought so too. But his general disposition is gloomy. Do you think it's because of all this bad news he has to read out?
Well, Roger has never really been the same since the incident.
What incident?
Well, Roger was very close to his dog, Moisty. No, he was called that because he was an unusually damp dog. But 12 years ago, whilst out walking on Hampstead Heath, the dog went missing. And since then, Roger has been very serious and depressed. His only interest is the news. He told me that because of his loss, he's never been able to have a girlfriend. He could never love anybody as much as he loved that small, soggy dog.
Mr. Tharb, I should like to undertake a journey throughout the country meeting ordinary people and uncover uplifting and light-hearted stories which could be placed at the end of the news to alleviate the gloominess of so much else which dominates the headlines.
Well,
I am due a few days' holiday next week. Perhaps I could start my investigations then.
Very well, Mabel. Very well.
Hello, Mr. Tharp's office. Yes, I'll tell him. It's Dr. Ganley at the BBC hospital.
Ah, yes. I expect it's about the Lord. Tell him I'll be calling around immediately. In person. That's me. I'll be going. Myself.
Very well. Dr. Ganley, Mr. Tharb will be calling around immediately. In person. Meaning him, himself.
Dr. Ganley, any improvement in Lord Reith's condition?
I'm afraid he's still in a catatonic state. Did he receive some catastrophic news?
May I talk to him?
Certainly, although he probably won't react.
So, Lord Reith, there you are. Hello there. Oh, you're looking happy. How are you? A big smile on your face there.
Did he say something?
No, nothing. What methods do you use to attempt to release him from his catatonic state? Or do you just wait?
We know so little about this condition. Any remedy we attempt is largely speculative, I'm afraid. The only research I've done in this area is on people who've been run over by trams.
People have been run over by trams?
Yes, trams.
Is that even in this area? Lord Reith heard some shocking news, but he hasn't been run over by a tram.
Was he ever run over by a tram?
Not as far as I know.
What about these lines on his forehead?
Well, it's just a natural frown.
Not caused by the wheels of a tram?
No.
All right, I'll update his records.
Do you actually know what you're doing?
Do you know what you're doing? I've heard a lot of the programmes on the BBC recently, and quite frankly, they're rubbish.
Well, let's not allow this discussion to descend into a slanging match. Just tell me, what methods are you using to try to revive Lord Reith?
Because research into this condition is in an early stage, we are using various experimental techniques.
Such as?
Well, this.
You've just slapped him in the face.
Yeah.
Interesting. He seems not to notice heavy slapping on his face.
I'll try this variation.
Even continuous slaps across his face seem to have no effect.
Do you want to have a go yourself?
What? At slapping him across the face?
Yes.
Would it do some good?
Well, I don't think it's doing him much good. But it might help get some of your frustrations out. And it's fun, too.
No, I don't think so. It wouldn't feel right.
Go on, have a go.
No, I couldn't. After all, he's my boss.
All right. If you can think of a better idea, let us know.
Well, maybe just one. It's quite fun. Maybe just one more.
BBC. Are you an ordinary person?
That's right, yes.
Would you mind telling me if anything light-hearted or amusing has happened to you recently?
No, nothing.
Never mind. Thank you so much for your help.
Pleasure.
Hello, I'm from the BBC. Are you an ordinary person?
No, sorry, dear. Afraid I can't help you. I'm Welsh.
Oh, never mind. Thanks for your help. Good day, I'm from the BBC. Would you mind telling me if anything amusing or interesting in a light-hearted way has happened to you recently, sir?
Yes. Well, I've been having an affair. Yes, a rather nice gal I met in a tea bar in the West End.
I see.
Yes, don't tell the wife.
Well, jolly good. Thank you so much for your help.
You're very nice.
How terribly kind. I'm a complete stranger, and yet you welcome me into your home.
Would you like some tea?
Yes, please. Does an ordinary family live in this house?
Yes, our man, the mother of this ordinary family.
And our Bert, the dad.
We also have two children, John and Vera, who are at school, and a dog.
Well, that is extremely ordinary. Perfect for my purposes.
Oh, the only thing slightly out of the ordinary, which you may be wondering about, is why is my husband not out at work?
Yes, I should immediately address that, Anne. Unfortunately, I've been recently suspended from work after I lowered my trousers during a meeting with the management. Quite wrongly, they regarded it as an act of provocation. I was just being playful.
Oh, dear.
Yes, going to arbitration.
But apart from that, I can assure you, we are extremely ordinary. Is your tea?
Oh, thank you. I'm most grateful for your honesty. I did think it was slightly out of the ordinary, your husband being in the house, rather than out at work, but your explanation is fully satisfactory.
Thanks, love.
But who am I, you may be asking? My name is Mabel Hopcraft, I'm from the BBC, and I'm travelling around the country collecting heartwarming stories which could be used for items at the end of the news.
Well, thank goodness for that.
I often say to Bert, my husband dear, how very depressing the news is.
Yeah, it's just one horrible story after another. Shipping disasters, murders, political crisis, gangbangs, thievery, robberies, violence, outcry over bankers' bonuses, riots. I could go on and on.
Well, that's
corruption,
what...
unlicensed cockfighting, match-fixing, divorces and more riots. There's never any good news.
Something light-hearted at the end of the news would be just great.
Have you ever met any ordinary people? I should imagine you probably haven't been from the BBC.
Au contraire. I have met many ordinary people.
Oh.
I met a man who loves carrots, whose name is actually Mr. Carrot.
Oh, that's nice.
I met a widow and a widower who have recently become engaged. He's 86, she's 90. Turns out they were both adopted and are also brother and sister.
Oh.
Should make their wedding night interesting.
What did you have to say that for? Well, all those stories would certainly in the news on a cheerful note. Quiet there, laddie. Sorry about that, Miss Hopcraft. That's our dog. He's a rather melancholy hound, I'm afraid.
Yeah, he's a good-natured old fella, but there's something about him that's not quite right.
Is he able to mimic the king?
No.
I was hoping there might be something news-worthy about him.
No, I'm afraid not. He's just a bit miserable at times, that's all.
Except every time he hears the words, the news, he yelps.
Yeah, look at this. News, news, news. Look, Nya, who's?
Yes, I noticed that. Is there any reason why he should react in such a way?
Well, he did come into the house in unusual circumstances.
Really? What were they?
Well, about 12 years ago, I thought it'd be nice to have a pet for the kids. So I decided to go to Hampstead Heath and nick a dog. I saw this geezer relieving himself behind a tree. So I just abducted the hand and brought it home. It's not against the law.
It may not be against the law, although I think it is. But psychologically, it may not be good for a dog to steal it from its owner and plonk it down into a strange and unfamiliar environment.
Yeah, it's correct political and it's gone mad.
As well as reacting to the words, the news. How does Laddie react when hearing the actual news?
In a very peculiar way indeed, actually. Especially when that miserable arsehole, Roger Eve, is reading it.
Here, Bert, it's 3 o'clock. Why don't we turn on the news and see what he does?
Yeah, good idea, Ann.
Thank you.
The ship sank within the space of less than 10 seconds, and there are believed to be no survivors. Another vessel has gone down off the coast of Norfolk. As with the Devonshire, it is believed all on board perished. This brings the total of shipping disasters this week to 32.
Good boy, laddie. Or should I say moisty?
Calm down, boy!
What's going on?
Difficult days ahead, which the Prime Minister has warned the country it must be prepared to face: hard work, toil, sweat, bloodshed, numerous difficulties, and immeasurable grief and suffering which lie ahead for each and every British subject, both at home and in the colonies, for many, many years to come. And finally, some light-hearted news. A newsreader at the BBC has been reunited with his long-lost pet dog. The dog, called Moisty, was stolen 12 years ago whilst the newsreader was walking on Hampstead Heath at an emotional reunion at Broadcasting House. The lovely, sweet, affectionate animal jumped up into the arms of the grateful, grateful newsreader as if it had never been away from its adoring, adoring master.
Well, it's good to know you'll soon be out of hospital, Lord Reith. And who'd have thought that Roger's reunion with his dog would have had the very welcome consequence of releasing you from your catatonic state?
Yes, it was a very moving broadcast. Unorthodox, yes, but I'm sure anyone who heard it would have been impressed by its sincerity. The radio was playing, you see, in the ward. It must have infiltrated my subconscious in some way and had the effect of jolting me out of my slumbers. You see, as a child, I also had a pet dog, which I was unusually close to. Unusually close to. If you see what I mean.
Yes. No, what?
My only friend throughout my childhood, that wee dog, until my father took it from me and strangled it in front of my eyes. Ah. He had accused the dog of perpetrating some unnatural act. But of course, the mutt was just doing what dogs do quite naturally. You see, if I'm walking in the park, I often enjoy watching dogs performing their reproductive tasks. And I don't find anything odd or unusual about that, but my father was from a strong Calvinist background and took a very different view about it.
It's nice to see the weather picking up.
Anyway, I shall be returning to work next week. This light-hearted item at the end of the news, if other suitable stories come up, perhaps it is an experiment we can try again in the future.
Oh, Mabel will be most pleased.
I'll see you next Monday then, Thad.
Hello, Moisty. Ah, Dr. Ganley. The Lord is well on the road to recovery. And how is Roger doing?
As far as we know, he'll be fine. He seems to be suffering from nervous exhaustion brought on by the excitement of being reunited with his dog.
You say, as far as we know, and he seems to be suffering from nervous exhaustion. Does that mean you're not entirely sure?
No, we're... Oops! Is he dead, then? No, he's fine, just asleep. Sorry, I thought he was dead there for a moment, but he'll be perfectly fine. He intends to take the sea air at Worthing, where he will stay with his mother while he recuperates.
He'll miss reading the news.
His mother suggests he spend some time at the local bingo hall calling out the numbers. That'll gradually ease him back into the swing of things.
Well, that sounds like a very good plan. Well, I shall be off then. Goodbye, Doctor.
Thorpe!
Yes?
Come here a minute, will you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord Reith?
Did you slap my face?
Well, Mabel, the whole country has been moved by the heartwarming story of Roger and his dog. I had my doubts, but the light-hearted item at the end of the news has turned out to be a great idea. And well done on persuading Roger to read out the item. He, like me, was rather sceptical.
Thank you, Mr. Tharp. Thank you very much indeed. I did have another idea, resulting from the indisposal of Roger and the vacancy in the newsreading department.
Yes? What is it?
I have made a demonstration disc, if you care to listen.
Really? Well, very well, yes. Put it on.
Oh, hello. This is the news with me, Perfume Pete.
And me, Fancy Dan.
Ain't everything been a bit depressing recently, Dan?
Oh, you don't have to tell me, Pete. German rearmament, unemployment, the weather's been miserable, and my Auntie Vi's coming to visit next week.
Oh, dearie me. Well, here are the main headlines.
No, Mabel, no!
That was The Golden Age. It was written by Arthur Matthews and starred Robert Bathurst, Vicky McClure, and Ford Kiernan. It also guest starred Peter Egan, Malcolm Tierney, Kevin Bishop, Ewan Bailey, and Pippa Evans. The producer was Simon Mayhew Archer.
Number 23, the number of fatal road accidents in London last month. One can only imagine the pain and misery visited on the families of the unfortunate victims. Number 88, two fat ladies, overweight, unhappy, unwed due to their large size and self-loathing, possibly living together in a seaside town rather like this one, out of season, the day trippers and tourists long gone, the winter months approaching, the dark evenings spent in solitary pursuits, the prospect of settling down with a loving partner becoming an increasingly forlorn and unrealistic dream. Number one, the lone number. One thinks of somebody living alone, perhaps a middle-aged man with no wife, no future, and only a dog to keep him company.